1 Samuel 16, verses 11 through 13. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. After the seven sons of Jesse had passed before Samuel and had been rejected, Samuel finds out that there's another son. He's the youngest, and he is said to be with the sheep. He is so insignificant within the family that he's not even mentioned with the rest of the boys. But he's left out of the feast and the sacrifice. He's out there doing the job of a humble servant. In fact, when he's mentioned by his father, he's not even called by his name. He's simply called the youngest. When he walks in, Samuel sees a handsome young man, bright-eyed, with a little blush in his cheeks. And God tells Samuel to anoint this one. This is him. This is the one. The one that's rejected and passed over by the others is the very one picked by the Lord. No doubt Jesse and his sons were all amazed as they watched the old prophet walk over to young David and pour the anointing oil on his head. Again, we must be careful how we assess those around us. We look at people today and think we know who God will use and what he'll do with them. Brothers and sisters, you never know. God often passes over the ones others would choose and calls those we would never have even imagined. God excels in taking nobodies and making somebodies out of them. When God went after a man after his own heart, he did not go to the palaces, to the temples, or the places of influence, of wealth and power. God chose the most unlikely person and the most unlikely of places. The key to being used by God is to be possessing the right kind of heart. It seems crystal clear that God had a specific plan in mind. He sent Samuel to a specific town, to a specific family, and in that town, and then to a specific person. Specific town, specific family, and to a specific person that he, God, had chosen to be the next king. When Jesse and David's brothers are brought in before Samuel, it says that they're sanctified. 1 Samuel 16. Verse 5, and he said, peaceably, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons, and he invited them to the sacrifice. So these young boys, they're sanctified according to the Jewish law. In other words, their sins are dealt with and they're made ready for worship. When David is brought, there's no time for him to be sanctified, though. But he was ready nevertheless. David is a picture of that believer who keeps his heart in a state of readiness. He doesn't know when the Lord might call him, so he stays ready at all times. He, quote-unquote, doesn't get ready for the big day. He's ready day in and day out. That's the kind of person that God is looking for today as well. God doesn't use people that love the world, that are chasing the world, that want to live for this world. They want to live their own lives in their own plans. That's not the kind of people that the Lord is looking for. He uses those which are sold out for the Lord. Sold out in whatever it is that God has called them to do. They love the Lord their God, and they want to walk with Him. And they're ready for His call, whatever that call may be. If that call is to the palace, or if that call is to the pasture, as we will see with David. When God calls David, He finds him faithfully doing what he's been told to do. He's simply keeping the sheep. He's doing a dirty, lonely job. But he does it because it is what has been assigned to him. And he knows that he's just being faithful in what God has called him to do, whatever that may be. After he's anointed, what does he do? David is anointed, and we see in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 16, he goes back to his flock. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son who's with the sheep." Here he is. He gets anointed by the prophet Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. You would have said, "Wow, here it is. The big day is here." And what's he doing? He goes back to the sheep. Why? Because that is what he does, brothers and sisters. We are to do all that we can possibly do in the situation that God has us, in the circumstances that he has us. We're not to look for the glory. We're to be faithful in what he's called us to do. Even after he's called to Jerusalem to play for King Saul, we see in verse 15 of chapter 17, "But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." David is a faithful man. He's faithful. David's given an assignment. He carries it out faithfully. He even places his life on the line to protect those sheep. You see in chapter 17, verses 34 to 37 of 1 Samuel. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.'" We're talking about an extremely faithful man. When Jesse looked at David, he saw the youngest of his sons. His brothers saw him as a little punk kid. Samuel saw a cute little boy. But when God looked at David, he saw integrity, faithfulness, responsibility, and character. Others saw nobody. God saw a man that would be king. The question is, when God looks at your life, does he see integrity? Does he see faithfulness? Does he see responsibility? And does he see character? In the day-to-day, mundane aspects of life, God has called you, brothers and sisters, to be a man or a woman of integrity, faithfulness, responsibility, and character. No matter if you're in the palace or the White House, or in the garbage dump, or in the bathroom, wherever the Lord has placed you, that is to be our character traits: integrity, faithfulness, responsible. Your yes is to be yes, your no is to be no. If you want to be used by the Lord, let me encourage you to be faithful where you are. The best thing that you can do is grow where you're planted. Bloom where you are planted. Allow God to develop your character, your integrity, your faithfulness, and your sense of responsibility in the ordinary, mundane events of life. What does Matthew 25, verse 21 teach us? His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Those that are faithful over a few things. If you're not faithful in a few things, you're not going to be faithful in many things. Why in the world would you think the Lord would do that? If you're not faithful with $5, why in the world would he give you $500? Why would he do that? You have to be responsible and faithful and people of integrity with the little. With the little. Be ready. Be reliable. Because you never know when the call of the Lord will come. He knows where you are. He didn't forget about you. He didn't lose you. He's developing those traits in your life, brothers and sisters. And he's not going to move you forward until he develops those characteristics in your life. Why in the world would he use you in the body of Christ if you're not a person of integrity and faithfulness and responsibility and character? All you would do is hurt sheep. You wouldn't help them. You would only hurt them. He knows where to find you. He knows where you are. And he knows how and when to open all the right doors in your life. Just be faithful and walk with him, and in his time, he will use you for his glory. And truth be told, in the mundane aspects of life, he is using you for his glory. Because whatever your vocation is, God has put you in that vocation, and he's called you to be faithful in the vocation that you would find yourself. As I said, if you be the king in the palace, or if you be the man or woman cleaning the garbage, picking up the garbage and cleaning the bathroom. It's all been anointed and ordained by Almighty God. When Samuel anointed David, and perhaps whispered God's plan in his ear, this was not David's first encounter with God. No doubt David had seen the glory of God that's written in the heavens, and his power manifested in the universe. David did write Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the Son. The Lord reveals himself to all of nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. David was aware of that. Being on the hillside at night with the sheep, being faithful to fulfill his calling, he witnessed the glory of God written in the heavens in the firmament. As I said, you find that in Psalm 19. David also witnessed God's tender care for his people and his own relationship to his flock. That's what Psalm 23 is all about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Ah, David learned many lessons, brothers and sisters, in the quote-unquote ordinary events of life. God, brothers and sisters, once again, I cannot emphasize this. I cannot emphasize this too much. Integrity, faithfulness, responsibility, and character. David was a man after God's own heart, and those characteristics were developed in his life. David might have walked onto the public stage in 1 Samuel 16, but David had been walking with the Lord for quite some time. Listen to David's own testimony in 1 Samuel 17:37. Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Verse 45 of the same chapter. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." As I said, brothers and sisters, the Lord, David had been walking with the Lord for quite some time. Here's the point. God calls those who know him. Not know about him, that know him. This is eternal life, that you would know the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That you would know him. Know him intimately. God calls those who know him. He chooses his vessels from among his redeemed ones. Those who know him in a faith relationship, who live lives as close as they can to him, who are ready, reliable, and available. They are the ones that are candidates to be used by the Lord. And the question is, does that describe you? Does that describe you? Integrity, faithfulness, responsibility, responsible character, reliable, ready, walking close to the Lord. When you sin, you confess your sin, you repent, you turn from it. You keep the chalkboard as clean as you possibly can. You don't just live in sin. When you sin, when you fall, you repent. Confess, you repent, and you forsake. Is this the kind of life that you are living? Because that's what the Lord has called us all for. God is, he's still looking for people that he can call and use for his glory. Can you honestly say that your life is ready and available? Do you possess the kind of character God is looking for? If you know there's problems and you walk with the Lord, then come to him. Come to him. Confess your sins. Come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy. You'll find grace in your time of need. Confess your sins to him. Receive his forgiveness. Be ready to be used by him in his time. If you have a desire to be used of the Lord, come to him. Come to him. The scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll grant you your heart's desires. But the key is, delight yourself in the Lord. And you know what? If you delight in yourself in the Lord, your heart's desire will be in line with the Lord's will. And he'll give you that in his own time. So brothers and sisters, let us be a people of integrity, faithfulness, responsibility, and character. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you've never come to God Almighty for salvation through Christ, based on the scripture, I would say to you today, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will, come. There you'll find eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Come today to Christ. If you are walking with the Lord, be encouraged, brothers and sisters. In the Lord's timing, he'll knock on that door. He'll knock on that door. In his timing. May we learn from our brother David to be people of integrity, faithfulness, responsible, people of character. And Father, we ask you these things in Jesus' name, that it would be true of us.